Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you crying?
Are you going to interrupt me soon?
Well, I couldn't tell.
It's Wretched Radio. I feel so, well, phony and so vindicated. It turns out I don't have ADHD, and there's a really good chance you or your children don't either. Why? Because ADHD is a new malady, which is included in the DSM-5. It gives the criteria for what makes you qualify for this supposed disorder. But is it possible that there's really no science behind it, that there is not the medical support to make a diagnosis that says you've got ADHD? You know, when I was a kid, that was a while ago. When I was a kid, we saw ADHD coming. There was a different name for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It was called ants in your pants. That's what we had. And hey, you got ants in your pants, sit still. Because kids squiggle, some of us more than others. Sometimes we struggle to pay attention. That's pretty common for a kid. But these days, if you exhibit symptoms that are on the checklist of the DSM, your child could be labeled as having, it's a mental disorder. It's a disease model. We used to think somebody was just fidgety. They couldn't pay attention very well. Is it possible that you or your child, if you've received this label, don't really have ADHD? Dr. Greg Gifford, his Transform podcast, I'm telling you, if you have not been listening to it on your podcast or on the radio, because it's a radio show now, if you look out into the harbor, that boat that is sailing away is the one you missed. I'm telling you, his Transform podcast, don't miss the boat. It is so good. And don't normally play longer snippets, but his recent podcast on ADHD might be a blessing to you. This might be something that causes you to go, oh, good. I just have a short attention span, or I just don't have the ability to do that, but I do have the ability to do this. Dr. Greg Gifford, who is one of our new fellows, which, by the way, the matching campaign still going on, wretched.org/donate, his recent podcast on ADHD. May this bless you.
So how do you get diagnosed with it? Well, there's generally two overarching categories. I just held my hand up and said two. Did you guys see that, by the way? There's two. Do you see it?
I saw it. What? You see it, Jimmy?
I don't even not see that. Okay, the first one is inattention. Inattention. And the second is hyperactivity/impulsivity. So let me start with just examples of what inattention look like. And six or more of these have to be present for children up to the age of 6. At the end of this, you're going to be like, Dr. Gifford, which child does not express this? Okay. All right. Often fails to give close attention to details or makes careless mistakes in schoolwork, at work, or with other activities. Often has trouble holding attention on tasks or play activities. Often does not seem to listen when spoken to directly. Often does not follow through on instructions and fails to finish schoolwork, chores, or duties in the workplace. Often has trouble organizing tasks and activities. Often avoids dislikes or is reluctant to do tasks that require mental effort over a long period of time, such as schoolwork or homework. Oh, man. I do that. All right, I'm going to keep going. Sorry. Often loses things necessary for tasks and activities, school materials, pencils, books, is often easily distracted, is often forgetful in daily activities. So that is inattention. This is everything from you're having trouble to organize tasks and activities, to being easily distracted, to being easily forgetful of what you're doing throughout the day. Oh man, that seems a little subjective to you, but these are coming directly from the DSM-5. This is how you would be diagnosed. So let me read hyperactivity before I begin to share my thoughts. And I'm bursting at the seams to share my thoughts. So bear with me here. All right, hyperactivity. 6 or more symptoms of hyperactivity for children up to age 16 or 5 or more for adolescents age 17 years and older. All right, hyperactivity. Often fidgets with or taps hands or feet. Often leaves seat in situations when remaining seated is expected. Often runs about or climbs in situations where it's not appropriate. Often unable to play or take part in leisure activities quietly. Is often, quote, on the go, acting as if driven by a motor. Often talks excessively. Often blurts out an answer before a question has been completed. Often has trouble waiting their turn. Often interrupts or intrudes on others. Butts into conversations or games. So these are the symptoms. Some of you don't have to be told about this. Ooh. You see it. Your child has been diagnosed with it, or as you're listening to this, this is what you did in junior high, and that's how you got the label ADHD. Now, where does this primarily manifest itself? Well, it's not rocket science. It's at school. Where do these symptoms primarily manifest themselves? Where does a student not put forward the mental effort over a long period of time and attention, schoolwork or homework?
Mm-hmm.
So that's ADHD in a nutshell. Those are not biblical counseling definitions. That's the DSM-5 and the CDC for just the figures in regard to how many people have been diagnosed with it.
By the way, most of the diagnoses, they happen in boys who are in middle, junior high, high school. And it is almost always done at school. That should be a tell back to Greg Gifford.
So this is going to be one of my first questions that I will ask you. Which of that is medical?
Mm.
Which of that's medically related? If we're saying this is a mental disease, what part of that is a disease? Just ask yourself that. Is there an X-ray? Is there a CT scan? Did you do lab work on that 7th grade student and draw blood to see a vitamin deficiency? And if you did not, then maybe, just maybe, it's not a medical issue as it's being put forward by the DSM and the CDC. Maybe it's not a medical issue at all.
Wow. That one question might bring clarity to you if you're having to deal with this. Doc, tell me, where's the lab results? Did you even check the blood CAT scan? Please tell me there's something that's actually, did you put the stethoscope on his left ear to figure out that there's something inside of it that's causing him to be fidgety or not to focus on doing algebra? You got anything? And the answer to that question is no, they don't, because it's not medical. It's merely observational. Back to Greg Gifford.
In fact, most of these things are social, personal descriptions. They personally struggle holding attention, or socially they butt into a conversation. Is that a social issue? Is that a personal issue? Or is that a medical issue?
Mm.
Let me ask you this question. And listeners, you're probably going to hear maybe a more sober tone, because my oldest son experienced some of this when he was in public school. You'll read more about it in my forthcoming book, but he was asked to be tested for this very thing and learning disability. So this is very personal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Can your child focus on things they enjoy? When your 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade child sits down to watch a movie, can they sit still for an hour and a half? Can they play video games for an hour and a half, 2 hours? I've yet to meet with a family where the answer is no, they can't sit still even while watching their favorite show or even while playing video games. I have yet to meet that family. Ask yourself about that with your nephew, your son, your daughter, whoever it is that you're thinking about right now with ADHD, if you handed them your phone and said, do whatever you want to do for 2 hours, could they sit still?
Oof.
And if they can, then what does that mean? That means there is a level of self-control. There is a level of focus. There is a level of an ability to do something for a long period of time.
They just don't like sitting still in school. Anybody want to raise their hand to that accusation? Who of, okay, perhaps you didn't. And by the way, Greg gets into this in a bit where he talks about school and how it has been only within the last century and a half, when we have made schoolwork so formal, forcing kids to sit for hours at a time and just listen. Oh, he's just a daydreamer. He just stares out the window like just hallucinating. No, just bored. That's all. This isn't of interest to me. And I struggle to do this. Now, that could be a deficiency in something like, for instance, self-control, or maybe just having some to get things done even. But don't those things tend to, for most of us, come a little bit later in life? Maybe, just maybe, you or your child doesn't have ADHD. This is Wretched Radio. Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical, teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Ezekiel was a prophet and priest in Israel. The language in the book of Ezekiel is often symbolic and figurative, but the message is clear. God rules over and judges men and nations. When you are tempted by sin, Ezekiel reminds us that God is holy and has called his people to holiness. He will go to great lengths to purge evil from among them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Focus, Jimmy. Focus. This is Wretched Radio talking about something that apparently is rather personal to one Jimmy Hicks. You were diagnosed with ADHD?
I was. As an adult? When I was 26 years old, I went to the doctor for just a normal checkup. And as she was finishing, she said, "Is there anything else?" And at that moment, I had been experiencing some, you know, I had a lot of workload on me at my job. I start all these different projects and I never get anything completed.
Wow, this has been going on for decades for you.
That's right. I just go from one to the other without finishing one first. And she said, "Oh, you have ADHD."
And
wrote me a prescription for Adderall, which I got addicted to.
Get out of town. I did.
It made me angry. What it did to me made me just so angry.
There are millions of people that are taking Adderall.
Right, right. It took a while to get off of it, too.
Wow. All right. Based on the inspiration of one Jimmy Hicks, was not going to play the second part of Greg Gifford's podcast on ADHD. This is a needed word. You can listen to Greg's podcast wherever you do podcasting business, and increasingly he's on radio stations around the country. How cool is that? Dr. Greg Gifford on ADHD, answering the big question.
Is ADHD a mental illness? And my answer to that is no, it is not a mental illness. And for some of you, you're like, "What? Dr. Gifford lives in a basement. He packs his own ammunition. He's wearing an aluminum foil cap right now.
What's wrong with those things?"
No, I do believe in science, and I don't believe we're going to be invaded by aliens. I don't pack my own ammunition. But do I believe that you have a disease and a disorder? I do not. I don't use that term, and I don't accept that term. Go through the criteria I've just read and ask which one are medically related. Why use illness and disease over a non-medical issue? So is it a mental illness? No, it is a matter of giftedness versus weakness.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I mentioned this a second ago. I have yet to meet that seventh grade. I keep saying seventh grade because this is usually the age when young boys are diagnosed with ADHD. It's around seventh or eighth grade. I have yet to meet that young boy who cannot sit down and play Zelda for hours. He can sit down and get lost in Mario Kart and Fortnite. And yet when he reads a book, he struggles to read it. So I'm not buying the fact that he can't focus. What we're seeing is that he struggles to focus on things he doesn't enjoy. And welcome to the rest of mankind. Hello, put me back in algebra class in college. And watch my brain melt, not my mind. My brain will literally melt if you put me in an algebra class right now. So yes, I totally resonate with not enjoying things and struggling to focus on things that are laborious. Have you ever done taxes? Oh, I budget three different sittings when I'm doing my taxes because I don't enjoy it. I am not excited about doing taxes. So I resonate with that. But that doesn't mean that they have a disorder because they struggle to focus on something. So what is it? We're talking about a giftedness. So think of the way the Bible describes people. Mm. Some of us have varying gifts. Some of us have serving gifts, gifts of charity. This is the Romans 12 understanding. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11 also talk about similar gifts. The gifts of teaching, administration, and so forth. There are certain people that are busier than other people. They're more active. They're restless. They're not going to sit down. They're up going. Their brain is churning and they're doing stuff. There are actually vocations that are blessed by that type of hyperactivity, quote unquote. ER doctor. Think of a general contractor. Think of a high-paced healthcare environment. Think of a park ranger. Think of the food and the restaurant industries that are very high tempo. Just because you are struggling with hyperactivity doesn't mean that you have a disease or a disorder. It means that you don't do well in an environment where you're supposed to sit in a desk for 7 hours every day.
That's so simple, isn't it? That's so helpful.
Here's the reality that you're not going to be a great librarian. That's totally fair. We're not going to put you in a cubicle and tell you to look at an Excel sheet. But what is that? That's giftedness, folks. And that's a weakness. That means that in other areas, it's a strength and a help. So you really have to push back against disorder and disease mentality. It's not a disorder and it's not a disease. Find a meaningful place of expressing that and then do so. So if you're sensing that I don't do great in school, hey, welcome to the majority of mankind that did not sit in school for 7 hours a day. Seriously, study the way that education has developed and become very formal within the past 150 years. So I'm not anti-education. I'm just saying that most of mankind has not sat in a desk for 7 hours a day. So when we see folks that are struggling to do that, then recognize that their giftedness just doesn't seem to match being the quiet, still studier.
Isn't that an encouragement? That the way God made you can be channeled, can be plugged into the right outlet, and instead of being diagnosed and given Adderall based on one statement in a doctor's office, yikes, it's simply your giftedness and you can use it. You'll find a place. Look, that doesn't mean we shouldn't help our kids become more disciplined, self-controlled, able to focus, to have some fortitude, get her done, son. We shouldn't be encouraging those things. But just like we have to encourage other areas of maturation, these don't typically happen with four-year-olds. But what have we done? Well, we've turned it into a mental health issue and given people Adderall. And lots of it. Greg Gifford helping us with such simple clarity on his Transform podcast.
I've also met students that they just get lost in reading. It's like an alternate reality they construct. I mean, it's hours of reading and books. And I myself was never that way as a child. I never got lost reading James and the Giant Peach. I think that's the only book I read fourth grade and early. And the Bible, of course. I mean, obviously, we're assuming that. The whole thing. So think of giftedness versus weakness. What is this person's giftedness? What are their weaknesses? Next, it should not shock you that most of the diagnosing happens around puberty. Most of the diagnosing for ADHD happens around puberty. What's happening at puberty? Girls are maturing faster than guys. A lot of fifth grade, sixth grade girls have already hit puberty. So your seventh and eighth grade boys are still physically immature, and then obviously there's other aspects of immaturity there. So who is it that's getting hit most with this diagnosis? Junior high boys, sixth to eighth grade boys. Well, we have a maturity issue that's taking place. Some of it's physical, some of it's actually developmental. Some of it entails the way that your physical capacities are increasing, yes, which affect things like judgment and impulsivity and restraint and self-control. So don't be surprised that if you just wait, your student grows out of it as they mature, both physically, spiritually, and so forth. Don't be surprised. Whereas if you're having that school counselor say, I think you need to go on medication, when you're in seventh grade, don't be surprised. That's really the peak issue. That's the time of crisis. What else do we have going on here? Self-denial and self-control. We are helping our students learn that there are some things in life that are just simply not fun, and it's good for them to do that. When I drop my oldest son off at the math tutor, that is a conversation we have quite regularly. I don't personally enjoy math. Some of you love it. I don't personally enjoy it. I find it to be very laborious and soul-sucking for me. I want to be with people. Put me with people. So when we're doing something that's not exciting, we have to deny ourselves, and we actually have to discipline ourselves. Students are learning this, that they do not live in a world that is all about fun things, and only the things that they do are to be enjoyable to them.
That happens at youth group in church, silly rabbit.
They're going to face things that are difficult, and they must persevere through that. If they do not learn that early in life, they will be crippled by this. So self-denial, self-control, this is an important one to consider. Now, inevitably, you're asking, what about medication? Should I allow my child to take medication? Should I listen to the school psychologist, school counselor? Should I listen to the medical doctor and put them on meds? The short answer is that you can do that when it's done legally with God-honoring motivations. You can use psychotropics. Do you need them? Do you need them is really the question. Well, if your son is in puberty or your daughter is in junior high, the better part of wisdom is to say, well, let's just see what happens as they grow up a little bit. Let's see how this goes.
Would you like to hear more? All Freel, not at the crucial moment. You can listen to Greg's Transform podcast. He balanced guy. Sure, you can. And there might even be instances where it's a wise idea. But I think I'll quote him when he said the better part of wisdom says during that time period, maybe just a little bit of time and a little bit of patience and a little bit of discipling and teaching our kids things that we always understood they needed to learn and weren't given a pill to simply squash. It's giftedness, most, not all, most of the time. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break. Here on Wretched Radio, I'm Jimmy Hicks. Let's start at the Big Apple, where the JFK Airport is getting a facelift. But not just any company can join in on the renovation fund. Nope, not at all. The New York Port Authority has announced a $19 billion renovation project for the International Airport. However, there is a small twist. Maybe not a small one. There's a pretty big twist. White male-owned businesses need not apply, at least for a significant portion of the contracts. Contracts worth $2.3 billion or more are reserved for minority and women-owned businesses. And Governor Kathy Hochul is very proud of the initiative, aiming to boost state partnerships with women and minority-owned businesses. Seems the Port Authority is embracing a progressive diversity and inclusion initiative, which by 2030 aims for 20% of contracts to be with minority-owned businesses and 10% with women-owned businesses. Just another day in progressive New York. Moving on to Minnesota, where the town of Savage has lived up to its name in the worst possible way. Shauna Larson reported to Alpha News that her daughter was beaten by her third grade classmate simply for not being Muslim. That's right, a third grader got a black eye from some mostly peaceful girls who thought she was an infidel. The school's response? You likely guessed it. They assured the mother that the daughter did nothing to provoke the attack and upon reviewing the security footage, confirmed that the attack was likely premeditated. Larson's daughter switched classes, but the attackers faced no consequences at all. Now, if you will, imagine if those roles were reversed. This would be all over the national news with demands of justice, wouldn't it? Now let's take a detour to the realm of education, where high school teacher Warren Smith recently lost his job. Back in February, Smith went viral for a brilliant exchange with a student who labeled J.K. Rowling a bigot. Smith was calm and logical and questioned the student, which of course highlighted the importance of critical thinking skills, which have apparently become unwelcome in today's education system. And despite the viral fame and positive impact of the encounter, Smith was fired and he was given no clear reason. But we can all guess the reason, can't we? Now to Hollywood. Oh, my favorite place to go, or should I say Hollywoke, where there are two actors from the latest Planet of the Apes movie, and they've taken method acting to a whole new level. Freya Allen and Owen Teague declared themselves Team Ape because in their view, humans are bad for the environment and they start wars. Allen even said, "I dislike humans a lot." Actors who are human and owe every bit of their success to other humans, claim the world would be better off without humans. What a world, what a world. And there you have it, folks, a newscast with absolutely no redeeming qualities. Not today. That's been your Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is the ability to discern between true and false spirits. Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and many false teachers present their lies as God's truth. But God has given us His truth, and He has equipped us to tell true from false in accordance with His word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And yet another human demotion. This is Wretched Radio. There is an ongoing effort to bring people down and to bring the animals up, making us just the same so that There is no human behavior that is really unique. Therefore, we're animals just like everybody else. And if we see that sort of behavior in animals, well, then it's fine for us too. In other words, there's an agenda in descending man and elevating monkeys. You'll see them all the time in scientific journals. Just saw one for Mother's Day, an orangutan that's holding her baby monkey. See? She's a mother just like us, except she picks bugs off of her baby and she doesn't take pictures and send them to people of their baby. I gotta tell you, speaking of mothers and pictures, oh, Jimmy, did you see the meme that was going around for Mother's Day that said, happy Mother's Day to all the cell phones? Oh, oh, man. And when we were out for Mother's Day, that is exactly what we saw. Mm-hmm. Not moms and dads engaged with their kids and vice versa. Instead, their kids staring at screens. The other thing that I unfortunately saw, why does it always have to be that somebody who apparently thinks that chewing with their mouth open and putting the maximum amount of food they possibly can in their mouth through any means is an appropriate way to consume sustenance? Why do they always sit right in my eye line? It's like a car accident. Oh, there. Oh, wow. Oh, oh. And then, of course, I have to vocalize it for everybody at the table. But then they have to look too. And then we're all just sucked into that vortex of misery. Dude, put the fork down. Just finish what you got in there. You don't have to consume the entire sandwich in two bites. Really, just be slightly more Italian and just enjoy it a wee bit. Nevertheless, we witnessed all kinds of families. There were some sweet ones. That's true. But so many of them, the kids are just staring at the screens. And it breaks my heart. And the effect of that is going to be super profound. We're already seeing it, aren't we? The kids are hurting. The kids are absolutely alone feeling. They know that something is woefully wrong. They're depressed. They're suicidal. And they're so confused about their gender, which, by the way, is so last year. Are you familiar with a term called neurodiversity? It's the future of inclusion. You see, if you can identify as, pick an animal, you can identify as the Eiffel Tower if you want to, and your truth is your truth, well, then you can identify as anything else. And what a demotion this is, that we slap labels all over people that are simply not as lofty as the descriptor the Bible gives us. We're image bearers of God. We was reading an excerpt. It was C.S. Lewis, and I was reading it anyway. And it was about heaven and hell. And the writing was about the glory of God. And he was talking about not just the biblical proclamation that there's heaven and hell, but the necessity of it for the transcendence, that eternal longing that everybody has in their heart. Eternity is baked into our hearts. And it was fascinating that what caught my fancy in the little clip that I read on this article in Heaven and Hell, it happened to be a C.S. Lewis quote, that you're interacting with human beings is either pointing them toward heaven or hell. Therefore, all of your casual conversations, all of your bus stop chatter, all of the things that you do perhaps as friends, as coworkers, it is either assisting them to be lofty or it's encouraging them to go low. And right now, our society is encouraging everybody to go low. And we have the opportunity to build up, stop labeling everybody. With their whatever the LG2 spirit, whatever the whole routine is, that's your label. That's what you are. What you do behind closed doors. That's it. Hmm? I mean, having a number on a jersey has more esteem than that. And now neurodiversity is allowing us to be labeled based on, you guessed it, our DSM-5 categories of the bad behavior that we all have because we've all got some sort of mental disorder. Neurodiversity, it's all the rage. This was an article in Forbes. More than 12% of U.S. millennials identify as transgender or gender nonconforming, and a majority believe that gender is a spectrum rather than a man-woman binary. Don't tell me there isn't a social contagion. Don't tell me that somehow mysteriously it's Gen Zs who, with like 30-some percent, think that they're somewhere on the LGBT whatever spectrum. Really? Just like that? Huh. I wonder why that happened. I think I've got a good idea why. These kids, they want affirmation someplace. Chances are they're not getting it at home. They want to get it at school. And if they don't have athletic skills that get them accolades, if they don't have academic skills that get them medals, what else is? You mean if I say I'm that, I'm going to be affirmed? I'm that. What a tragedy. And so we slap a label on them. Neurodiversity simply falls underneath the umbrella of inclusion. Neurodiversity refers to the variation in the human brain regarding sociability, learning, attention, mood, and other mental functions. So if you aren't hitting the norm on one of these, or you're just a little bit you're shy, for instance, being in a crowded room gives you the heebie-jeebies. Well, guess what? You're neurodiverse. And we've got to accommodate it. Now, this is going to make it sound like we shouldn't have any sort of consideration for people whose brains function differently, but that's all it is. It's our personalities. We're different in how we're made by God himself. And we want to make sure that we're not imposing what we believe are the norms onto other people who just maybe don't fit inside of what we somewhat, not entirely, but somewhat subjectively deemed to be social norms. We want to be sensitive. We want to be thoughtful about that. But this is a new push for something more than that. This is that you get your label, you get a prescription from a doctor, you're given a malady label, and that's you. And I think that's a terrible demotion from the article in Forbes. Neurodiversity is an acknowledgement that people experience and interact with the world around them in many different ways. Fair enough. No problem with that. Recognizing neurodiversity involves understanding the neurological differences like autism. Here it is. ADHD. Now, it says dyslexia on here. If somebody genuinely is on the spectrum, we look at that and say, of course. You accommodate. If somebody has dyslexia, then of course we accommodate that. The kicker here is this ADHD. And I'm kind of torn about this push for neurodiversity because I do think that it is good that we recognize that one size doesn't fit all. We've done that to the kids. We've stuffed them into the education system, whether they fit or not. And regularly, it is a round peg in a square hole. Hold on. It's a square peg in a... It's a squirrel lost in the shed with a sharp knife twice a day. They just don't fit. And we force them. And then we label them. And then we give them a prescription. So we should recognize that. And we should work with that. But this is something a little bit more. The shift towards including neurodiversity in the diversity conversation reflects a deeper understanding that fostering an inclusive environment means accommodating and valuing all aspects of human difference, not just those that are outwardly visible. In other words, how I feel, how I identify, what I say my preferences are, they've got to be respected. And on the one hand, I say, well, sure, we'll do our best. On the other hand, sometimes you have to grow. You have to change. You have to conform. You have to fit. You have to perform. That's how the world works. Workplaces are increasingly adopting practices and policies that support neurodiverse individuals. Neurodiverse. See, just that I can live with short attention span. I can live with, person struggles to focus. We got to figure something out so they can be productive. Neurodiversity, because that's what you are. It's not personality. It's not giftedness. It's what you are. It's a label. And it's going to be imposed on pretty much everybody. And it's all underneath the banner of inclusivity. And that if I identify as a certain something, you have to accept it, you have to embrace it, and you have to accommodate it. And again, I think this is the fourth time. On the one hand, to a degree, yes. But as is always the case with progressives, they don't want a degree. They want everybody in the world to change to accommodate one person, because we are living in an autonomous society. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. And let me tell you just how this ministry is going to get a facelift later this year. First of all, meet Dr. Jason Lyle, one of the new voices who will be coming in to the Gospel Partners Media Ministry. Dr. Lyle's an astrophysicist. He's the founder of the Biblical Science Institute. He holds a PhD in astrophysics from the University of Colorado, and Dr. Lyle brings a wealth of knowledge in science and faith. With leaders like Dr. Jason Lyle, our ministry will begin to inspire and equip the church even more so than it already has been. This is a brave new world we're living in, and your support can help us bring more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign happening right now. Just visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us to make a difference. And together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
This May, how would you like to create countless Mother's Day celebrations? You say, I can't do that. I only have one mother. While that is most certainly true, there are countless women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation, perhaps being pressured to abort their child. Enter Preborn Ministries, providing ultrasounds, clothing, food, counseling, and best of all, the gospel. And if you would consider supporting Preborn Ministries during the month of May, we have a matching gift campaign taking place, which means dollar for dollar, your gift will be matched. That means if you provide, say, 5 ultrasounds for $28 per ultrasound, that will be 10 babies, because women choose life when they see their child in utero. Would you please consider creating countless Mother's Day celebrations? Preborn.org/wretched.
All right, all Christian homeschool parents, Sunday school teachers, and group leaders, listen up right now. The Wretched Store at wretched.org has a vast array, that means a lot, of curriculum and study guides that are available to help save your day and your lesson plans. You can dive into Road Trip to Truth, where tough questions get answers, or explore Drive-By Theology, which is a crash course in key theological concepts that you didn't even know you needed to know. But once you hear them and learn them, you'll start to wonder why you didn't know them sooner. Each guide is packed with everything you need to learn yourself and also teach others along the way. Just visit wretched.org to explore all of the curriculum and study guides we have available. Give your group the gift of engaging and doctrinally sound education. Just shop the Wretched Store today at wretched.org, because look, winging it only works in bird watching.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our Passover. During the first Passover, God spared those whose doors were covered with the blood of a lamb. When we trust in Christ, we are covered by his blood, so that we are spared from God's wrath. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you would kindly just substitute the word the with his, well, then this stinger actually works. The Benny and his Jets. See what I did there?
I get it.
Benny Hinn. This is Wretched Radio. Benny and his Jets back in the headlines, at least in social media land, because of a YouTube video done by Mike Winger, who did a deep dive. I think it was about 4 hours long on Benny Hinn. just speaking the facts, ma'am. And it made such a kerfuffle that Benny Hinn himself, well, first of all, tried to shut down Mike's video, but then he went on the offensive, I guess. He went on to a program to be interviewed to respond to the accusations that were made. Let's go listen to Benny and his Jets explain why it is that he doesn't feel like he should be made out to be a bad guy for all of his past shenanigans. Ask yourself the question, does this sound like repentance to you?
Really, that we all prophesy in part. That means we don't see the full picture.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I can live with that. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Paul is talking about love is really the concept that if you do this, but you don't have love, banging gong, clanging cymbal. And he talks about prophecy done without love. And he says that we now see in part. One day we'll have a much better picture. Nope, because none of us are omniscient. So when we do prophesy, speak forth, we don't know everything. Okay, I can live with that. But what Benny is about to do is say, well, that's why I made mistakes when I prophesied and made predictions and told people that God told me. Those things have nothing to do with one another. And that perhaps to me gets to the crux of the issue. It's about hermeneutics. All of these swirling issues that we see, not just in the NAR, not just in the prosperity movement, not just in the United Methodist Church, that just apostatized. It's all, any goofiness you see, I keep coming back to hermeneutics. It's how you read the Bible. What Benny just did with the Bible, it's like, foul, you got a yellow flag for that, because that is not what Paul was talking about. We only see in part, therefore, you can tell people you're prophesying, and if you goof it up, that's okay because you only see in part. That's just a mangling of scripture.
And sadly, and I wish I can go back and fix it, but sadly, there were some prophecies I gave that were not accurate or from the Lord.
They were what, Fonzie? They were wrong. They were wrong. The Old Testament standard for being a prophet, you got to bat 1,000. You don't, you're out. In fact, not only are you out, you're going to be really out when they stone you for false prophecies. I truly don't know those people who claim that somehow the office of prophet still exists today don't follow the rules of the office of prophet yesterday. You either were 100%, you were spot on, or you were not a man of God speaking for him.
But who's perfect?
Well, the prophet is perfect, actually. If you're thus saying the Lord, you're going to be perfect if you actually were a prophet. Does this sound like repentance to you? That's how it's being touted in some circles. Benny Hinn repents of his false prophesying ways. This doesn't sound like 2 Corinthians 7 to me, even a little.
And for that, of course, I ask people to forgive me. I'm just human and made mistakes like that.
He's the human league. Hey! You know, only God told me and he didn't. Hey, boo-boos!
And I'll probably make him again, I suppose, down the road, because I'm not perfect.
Well, none of us are perfect, of course, but we shouldn't glibly dismiss grotesque errors. Not only that, the bilking of people because they believe that you were a prophet.
We will be perfect one day when we're with the Lord. As long as we're in this body that's imperfect, we're not going to make perfect decisions and even say the things we need to say or should say.
That doesn't sound like sackcloth and ashes to me.
But, you know, it's sad when people focus on the times you missed it. But that's just, you know, the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we focus on it because when you claim to speak for God, you have just uttered the mouthful. There probably isn't a more gravitas, a heavy statement that a human being can make. I'm telling you something that God told me. This is not a small deal.
Yeah, there were times when I did not miss it. And then the other
same
one
baseball.
Is prosperity.
This is his second air quote apology.
And that's been a very difficult one for me. When I started in ministry, it was simple. And then the ministry grew. I was invited to go to what they call praise funds. And I think that's when my troubles began. I don't blame anyone.
Just did.
But sadly, you get kind of in a place that becomes difficult. You don't know what to do and how to get out of it.
Read your Bible.
So I came to the conclusion in 2019 that I did not want to be a part of the gimmickry.
There's video of him recently in Africa telling people to sow a seed of $1,000. He got there on his private jet. And in 2019, he did not divest his fortune, which was ill-gotten. That's repentance. This is, I got busted. This is, you're hearing Esau. This is Judas Iscariot-like repentance. But this is not, I have sinned against God and I'm going to make it, I'm like Zacchaeus, which in this instance, regarding stature, probably pretty close here. What did the chief tax collector do when he met Jesus? He said, I repent. I'm giving back. I'll give back fourfold. That's repentance. Does this sound like repentance to you?
And I still stand by that. But sadly, I let pressure get to me. And because of
money.
That pressure, I said things and did things I should not have done. And
that's just to make money so he could live his lifestyle.
That really, I am sorry. And
then give the money back. Open up your checkbook, start sending it back.
I ask the dear people watching us to really forgive me for that.
Really repent.
And
I will never again ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amounts because I think the Holy Ghost
that's
is
2019.
Just fed up with it.
That's 2019.
If you want a financial miracle,
2023.
You act financially. You literally give. And then God will give you back way more than you can ever expect.
Ugh. I think it's an offense.
2019.
I think that hurts the gospel.
So I'm going to ask you tonight to give to the Lord's work. And I want you to tell the Lord, Lord, here's what I am believing for. Giving gets you out of trouble, even legal trouble. Giving
2023
has power.
That's buying the
2019.
Blessing. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. I think that's buying the gospel.
How many of you
2023
sweet people need a financial miracle now? Stretch your hands towards me. Come on. Lord, in Jesus' name, grant their desire. And Lord, we agree that financial need will be met.
If I hear 2019. One more time, break the back of debt with $1,000, I'm going to rebuke them.
2019.
I think it's an offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it.
Mm-hmm. 2023.
So go ahead and sow your seed. Let's just believe God that every one of you that are believing God for that financial need to be met, it will be met.
Because it's manipulation. It's gimmickry.
2019, 2023.
So I came to the conclusion in 2019. That I did not want to be a part of the gimmickry of it.
He just did it.
And I still stand by that. But sadly, I let pressure get to me. And because of that pressure, I said things and did things I should not have done. And for that, really, I am sorry. And I ask the dear people watching us to really forgive me for that.
That isn't true repentance. That isn't biblical repentance. This is a man who got busted. This is a man whose expose went viral, and people are seeing that it has always been about the money, and it still is about the money. And this man is as lost as a penny, and he needs to get saved, and we'll know it. Because the moment Benny gets saved, he'll sell the jets. He will give back the money. He will reduce his very lavish lifestyle. And He'll be a different man, and you will know it, and he'll disappear from public ministry. And you know where you're going to find him? In a Bible-teaching church where he sits in submission to elders who make sure that he doesn't return to his repented-of ways. Until then, sorry, just more chin boogie. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.